Baptism of truth is what the disciples did, the teaching of the new water, the new truth, the new way. But no man, no person can administer the baptism of spirit. The baptism of the Holy Ghost can only come from Christ in you. Then when you have taken new knowledge, new truth, this is only the truth that must now be sparked by the acceptance of Christ within, and this becomes the fire or the living water of truth, which brings the gift of life eternal. When you're told you shall never thirst again, that is the revelation that the living truth, the living water, is grace. Never thirst again. Grace. But the hour cometh and is now. And is now. Always the hour is now. When you're out of time, not in the belief that tomorrow I will find this, or the next day, the hour is now. Now is Christ in you. You're going to see that later. Say not there are 4 months to harvest. Now is the harvest. Now is Christ. Now is God. Now is perfection. Now is everything we have sought in passing time. Now is the invisible kingdom of God present where you are. Now Christ says, give me drink. Now Christ says, recognize me. The hour is now. Instantly. For I go unto the Father. Thou seest me. The man on the well is later going to say, thou seest me, thou seest the Father. Is it a man sitting on the well then? No. Truth and spirit. God is a spirit. Now there are many editions that leave out the word a. God is spirit. You can look in the revised editions, you'll notice that in John 4:24, the word A is left out in many of them. Even some of the older editions. God is spirit. A is actually an error. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in truth, in spirit and in truth. Now to worship God in spirit and in truth has been clarified to some extent by the recognition that the only way you can worship God in spirit is to accept Christ within you as the living self of your being. That's what ignites the truth into living water. For I go unto my Father. I, Christ within you, then become the bridge through which you are one with the unbroken consciousness of the Father. Infinity is realized in Christ acceptance. I think maybe we could meditate a moment, pause, give some of those who find it hard to sit for more than an hour a little rest. give me to drink. This is a great doorway to a new expression of life in all of us. Give me to drink. Pause now and be back in a few moments. We don't want women lib to get hold of this passage here. They might think it's something other than what it is. You know, if under normal circumstances a woman comes up to a well, it would be the normal thing for a gentleman to say, "May I help you pump that water?" Not to turn around and say, "Give me a drink." There should have been a clue there that this was something special, something different. But at this particular moment, because of all that has transpired, the woman suddenly pours out a deep longing of her heart, something she has never possibly said to anyone before. There's something in this individual who brings it out of her. She's almost coming to find herself, as it were. She says to him, "I know that Messiah cometh," which is called Christ. "And when he has come, he will teach us, tell us all things." This is the sign that she's ready. She is now at a point of receptivity to the Word. Her soul is saying, "I'm really seeking Christ," but she can't find words for it. To her, it's the Messiah, which is called Christ. It's coming. I don't know what it is, but it's coming. And the world says, too, Christ is coming. Second time around. And that's what's so great about the next revelation. The moment she says, "I'm seeking Christ," he says, and he reveals to us, to the world, through this woman, something which is later credited to Peter, who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." John wisely places it at the beginning of the gospel, after the cleansing of the temple, after the teaching to Nicodemus of "Be reborn," after the early teaching to the disciples, "Seek me where I dwell. Follow me where I dwell." And now in this outcast woman who is seeking the Christ deep in her own soul, he reveals, "I that speak unto thee am he." She could have waited for the second coming of Christ, as the world is. And perhaps the world hasn't read this part of the Bible very carefully, because it is telling us that all of us who stand at the well of consciousness need not wait for the second coming of Christ, because I am he. I sitting on the well of your consciousness am he. I'm not going to come a second time. I've never left. The well is revealed as the kingdom of God within you, the infinity of God. When a child is hurt, the mother seems to know that and feel it. She feels the pain just like the child. Stabs at her. When you are thirsty within for Christ, the Christ of your being feels it and says, I am thirsty. Give me to drink. It's exactly the same. Your lack is its lack. When you lack the Christ, it feels that lack and it says, I thirst. It means you are thirsting. And it means the solution for that thirst is the recognition that I, in the midst of you, now am he. That's why there was a Christ sitting on a well when an outcast woman appeared. This was the first disclosure on this earth of his identity to a woman. In what the world had thought was a God-forsaken country. But it wasn't. It was where Christ was disclosed to the world. And that Christ disclosed then to the world is the now Christ, for the time is now. And that Christ there is the Christ here. For that was the disclosure of the universal Christ that lives where every individual appears to be. There was a Christ in the midst of her being. She knew it not. She was being awakened to it. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, how low or high. You can't evict Christ as yourself. There's nothing you can do to push Christ away. You could have had 500 husbands, not just five. It makes no difference. That wasn't the criterion that decides if you're ready for Christ. Christ is always sitting on the well of your consciousness. And it doesn't matter who says you're an outcast, or who wants to excommunicate you, or who says you don't belong, or who says you're not smart enough. Even if the world in its entirety were to sit in judgment of any individual, Christ is there. And not only there, but omnipotent. And the recognition of Christ at the well of your consciousness is the omnipotence. That's the end of poverty and famine and disease. It's the gift of life eternal in Christ. Give me to drink, and I give you to drink. Whatever you give to Christ, you receive a thousandfold. Christ asks you to give that you may receive. You see the beauty, and why this is perhaps the real Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving that Christ in me is God expressing as my life. Now I know the power that is there. You know the power that is there. Why do we turn away? Forgetfulness. lack of sufficient motive, inability to prevent the disconcerting disturbances, the diversions of the world, the pleasures of the flesh, of materialism, make us turn away for the temporary, the transient, those things which perish. But more and more and more, there's a penetration into our consciousness of the fact that the living Word will express as everything we could possibly want and beyond. So we begin to listen from a different level of ourselves, not just when we want something, but constantly. Constantly we are turning to Christ within. We're going into the well, the deep well, for the hidden Christ. We're resting there. We're abiding. We're letting ourselves go beyond the realm of mind into the realm of consciousness. Where my consciousness is surrendered to Christ. And Christ, which goeth to the Father, becomes the expression of infinity within the well of my own being. The kingdom of God within me is revealed as the well of Jacob. The woman didn't turn away. The divine sequence, the timing was all perfect. Her initiation was begun. She had shown her readiness when she said, Christ would tell us all things. He said, I am He. When you come to the point where you know that Christ will tell you all things, Christ will. But that must be first. That must be the very purpose of your life, for Christ to tell you, teach you, lead you all things. There was a statement in the last chapter of Beyond Words and Thoughts. I think I briefed it here. One of the great barriers, this is on page 72 of Rising to the Mystical Consciousness. I mentioned it last time, but I want to mention it again. One of the great barriers is this: making ourselves the goal rather than having as our goal the attaining of heaven. This may not mean much until you have some light on the subject, but when heaven is your goal, you have to go to Christ for heaven. When you are the goal, you can get by without Christ. And so if you are the goal, not heaven, that's your barrier. Because you'll continue to try to get by without Christ. I think there are about 86 religions on the earth right now. Some are just sects, but they all call themselves religions. And I can tell you this, that the religion that is not seeking Christ at the well of consciousness is misleading its people. It doesn't matter what its name is. The worst offenders are the churches that are not turning the individual to the Christ of his own being, giving him all kinds of wonderful substitutes. If you're on a fringe and you're not quite sure which way to go, if your decision is to go where Christ is not taught, think about it. Think about it very carefully. You can waste many years. The woman is turned. She wants more. In fact, she's so excited, she runs home. The disciples are now returning. There he is, speaking to this outcast woman. They're startled out of their wits, but of course, no one can question his authority. The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city, and saith to the men, "Come, come, see a man which told me all things that I did. Is not this the Christ?" And then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, saying, "Master, eat." To her he said, "Give me a drink." Now they're trying to press food on him. He says, "No, no, I have meat ye know not of." In each case, it's the same thing. One was living water, and one is the meat ye know not of. Drink of my flesh, drink of my blood, eat of my flesh. This is the meat and the water, isn't it? To show you where the disciples are, even though the woman finally got the message, the disciples say, "Did someone feed him? Did someone bring him meat?" Do you see why he didn't reveal this to the disciples, who he was? It was to the woman who through heart could understand the Messiah is not emancipation politically from the Roman Empire, but spiritual emancipation. The male side wasn't ready to see beyond the physical, the material, the Messiah, the King who would liberate Israel. She was now a disciple. Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" And Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of my Father, the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." That's my meat. That's your meat. If it isn't, you're going to starve. The meat of Christ is to do the will of the Father. You, without Christ, accept it, cannot do the will of the Father. There's no way. Christ doeth the will of the Father. The meat of Christ is to do the will of God. The meat of Christ in you is to do the will of God. If you wish to do the will of God, you must be aware that you are not what you appear to be. You must turn to Christ within, who doeth the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? That you be perfect as your Father. That's why Christhood is life eternal. That's how you are perfect as your Father. The recognition of Christ in you is the way you become under the will of the Father, which is your perfection. Now, the recognition of Christ in everyone else is just as important. They are thirsting. The Christ in your neighbor is thirsting for you to give it love, recognition, wisdom, truth, gratitude. The pouring of the qualities of Christ from your consciousness to the recognition of Christ in another is the way you come into the will of the Father. All human differences are set aside. You impersonalize the world. You're accepting Christ everywhere. You're building your network of Christ, which becomes your everywhere self realized. The Christ sitting at the well in the consciousness of your neighbor is your spirit. The Christ sitting at the well in the consciousness of your enemy is your spirit. Isn't Christ everywhere your spirit? Is it possible that Christ somewhere is not the Christ of you? Is there a division? He crossed out of Judea into Samaria to show there is no division in Christ. It is all one self. Forget the appearances. Forget the male, female. Do you think that when you leave this consciousness into your next level of consciousness that you're going to be a male or a female? Have you given that a moment's thought? Do you think that because you're a woman now, you're going to be a woman? Or a man now and be a man? Is there such a thing? Are there men and women? In the fourth dimension, there are none. What will you be? You will be what you are now, the Spirit of God, neither male nor female, and certainly not corporeal. Oh yes, we're in for some exciting changes. For it is the will of our Father that we be perfect, and what could be more exciting than learning how to be? You have meat the world knows not of. And that meat is your Christhood, which knows the journey you're making and the way. If perfection is not your goal, if heaven is not your goal, but a personal you is, then you'll keep pumping at that well. And you won't see Christ sitting there saying, I thirst. Now, I don't care if someone in your life is a disturbance to you in any way. Christ in them is saying to you, give me to drink. That's the magic key you must know. And the way you give Christ a drink over there is to also give Christ a drink right where you stand. That's that rope. I suggest you practice it. Throw out the rope of recognition there and where you are, and hold tight, abide there, and you will find the meat, which is the will of your Father, expressing in that recognition of one. It changes every relationship. Sometimes so quick you don't know what hit you. It's so beautiful. Every relationship becomes a living smile. Why? Because I, in the midst of thee, recognized, am doing the will of my Father, which is love. which is grace, which is truth, which is beauty, which is life eternal, which is oneness without any division or separation. I have meat the world knows not of, and that meat is to do the will of my Father. And I, which saith these things, I am the Spirit within you, which in a book appears as Jesus Christ sitting at the well. I, in the midst of you, am that living Bible, that living Word. Say not yet, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. That doesn't mean physical eyes. It means the eye of your soul, a single eye. Look out from the higher vision of truth and spirit. Look on the fields. Which fields? The invisible consciousness of the world, the infinite consciousness, the invisible well that is everywhere awaiting those who would draw forth the living water. Look on the fields, through your soul, through your acceptance of Christ. For the fields are white already for harvest. The finished kingdom of God where you stand has always been present. And Christ in the midst of you is living there, manifesting, functioning, expressing, awaiting your outer acceptance of the inner reality. You know, many people have a misconception of the word realization. For instance, when you meditate and try to realize Christ, you think that there's a you that is to realize Christ. Now, that's the mistake. And that's why you are there working so hard to realize Christ. You think that the mortal being will realize the immortal self. And that sounds reasonable, only it isn't so. You don't realize Christ. You get out of the way. And that's how the realization comes. You find it's easier. There's no effort. You reach the point where you think you're supposed to do some realizing, and that's where you stop. Don't go that distance now to start realizing something. Just come to the point where you can accept a certain truth and be still and let Christ in you do the realizing, and watch how effortless it is. It's really a different way altogether than a human trying to realize Christ. Christ can only realize Christ. And it's that constant pumping, priming the well, where you think you're going to do some realizing. All you're doing, you see, is mentalizing. And that mind which keeps pumping and pumping and pumping is preventing what you're trying to accomplish. But when that mind is still and says, wait a minute, I know the truth, Christ is here. Now, why am I trying to realize it if it's already true? Do I have to realize the sun is in the sky? All I have to do is know it and be still. Now, when you throw that rope out to another one, please listen carefully because this is very difficult. When you throw that rope out to another one to realize their Christhood, don't try to realize it with your mind. That won't do it. You see, their Christhood isn't their Christhood as far as you're concerned. It's your Christhood. Your everywhere self has to become meaningful. Now let's take this slowly and watch it. Let's take someone near to you. I don't mean physically, I mean emotionally. Take someone near to you and see that where they are is Christ. Now Christ there where they are is your self. Now, if you were to try to realize that, you would never succeed. Christ where they are is yourself is the fact. You can't realize it. You have to accept it. And now here's the distinction at this point. Christ where they are is yourself. Don't realize it, but remove in you that mind which believes that Christ where they are is not yourself. And you will come into the realization. Remove the mind faculty in you which is not quite ready to accept that. Take that mind away and just abide in that silence, and the realization will come into its own expression in you. You are there as Christ, and that's the fact. Remove the belief that you're not, and then you will feel the presence of yourself there where that loved one is as the invisible Christ. If you practice that delicate awareness, not trying to realize with the mind, but to remove the mind that's trying to realize, you will have come first to the truth, which is the knowledge you must have, and then the absence of mind, which releases the spirit, which sparks the knowledge, and that becomes realization. This is delicate and beautiful, and it works. I saw someone working so hard at realization, and I knew how sincere and dedicated this individual was. And I realized that they're trying to do something, and the Father within must do the realization. The realization merely means the awareness in consciousness of the Christ. And so to be aware in consciousness, you can't realize it in the mind. That's a stone you roll away. Now, there are many times when it's difficult to know the Christ of you is standing where that loved one is. It's very difficult. And to know it in the mind isn't enough. You must let the Christ know it through you and that loved one. Please work on this. It's a very, very delicate area. But you're going to see as we progress here that until you become aware of the Christ of you everywhere, as fact, as living consciousness, you won't be under the infinite grace of the Father. What we're trying to do, you see, is to build a network of your everywhere self in Christ. This is how the new consciousness is coming into being. Your everywhere self is sitting at the well of every human consciousness waiting for your recognition. Jacob's well is within everyone, and you are sitting on the well of everyone in this universe now as the invisible Christ. You must know it, that is I in the midst of all who walk the earth. And you must build that conscious awareness daily. One day, it'll assert itself, and its miracles will just flow effortlessly, because when the one unbroken Christ, the seamless garment is established as your consciousness. Grace is automatically flowing as life eternal. The very substance of life lives itself. Now you see, we're past the words, we're past the thoughts, we're in the doing. We're in the now of doing, of being, of accepting, of trusting, of living as the invisible Christ of everyone we meet. Every human relationship should be preceded by that instant recognition of Christ, I am there, as well as here. And then remove the mind that does not believe it. And you'll find one established very quickly, and then just stay there, abide. Abide in me. You won't have to go any further, because Christ will do the rest. If out of today's lesson you can establish a practice of invisibly throwing the rope of Christ everywhere you go and holding on to it, but feeling your presence at the other end of the rope as well as at the end you're holding on to, you'll have one of the greatest secrets you will ever know. You'll have the realization of oneness. None of these miracles are going to mean too much to us until we have, to some degree, taken Christ out of within my body and felt it everywhere. But if you're trying, you'll discover you have all kinds of help. Don't go up to the well of life, of tomorrow's activities, of all your human and business and other kinds of relationships without acknowledging the invisible everywhere Christ first. That's all. If you practice this diligently at home, you'll find it's happening when you walk out into this world. You're silently tipping your hat to everyone you meet. You're investing every activity with Christ identity. And the living word is released. The living word becomes your practitioner, your teacher, your friend, your business, your health. Your life. I think I'd rather meditate on that than to go on with words. I can tell you, the Spirit said to me before, I will give you a very beautiful class today. Very beautiful. And it did. It told us what we must know. That I in the midst of me is the child of God, everywhere. Whether the individual appears as an outcast or not, an outcast person or a nation, I in the midst of that nation is the child of God. And that child and the God of that child, in the midst of that outcast nation, I am. I am there as that child. I am the invisible child in that business that seems to be failing. I am the invisible child in everything, everywhere. The Father says so. We build that consciousness day by day, quietly. We're building the temple not made with hands. This is your Christ network, your circle of Christ. And that turns out to be your everywhere self. You are becoming the living expression of omnipresence. You will fail 10, 20, 30, 40 times to do what you have been instructed to do today. Do it again. And if you fail 40 more times, do it again. Don't stop until you do not fail. When you are doing it, you'll see why. It has to be done. We have no other direction. It's the narrowest path. But it must be done. We must know ourselves in consciousness as the Christ of our neighbor, the Christ of our loved ones, the Christ of our enemies. Not the Christ in them, but the Christ in them I am. You must know this as an experience. When you do, Christ will no longer say, I thirst. We are expanding our consciousness of the real life into the many, many mansions, out of the two eyes of a man into the one infinite eye, which knoweth all things. More to be said on this later. To all of you, my thanksgiving is your presence, for which I find no words. Thank you very much. Thank you.